The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 15 in our Revelation series. This message is called Identifying the Two Witnesses. We will read Revelation chapter 11, the first four verses, and halfway through the message, we will read some more verses in the 11th chapter. To start with then, Revelation chapter 11 and verse 1. I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers there, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. The holy city is called Jerusalem or Zion. It has a natural counterpart and a spiritual counterpart. On the earth, we have Jerusalem. The Temple Mount is called Zion. In heaven, there is a place called the New Jerusalem, and it represents all the people of God. It represents those who have died and gone to be with the Lord. The scripture teaches us in the book of Hebrews that we have come to the city of the living God, to Mount Zion. It's the place where God is. It's the place where Jesus is. It involves myriads of angels and the church of Jesus Christ. And people anywhere in the universe, whether on the earth or in heaven, who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ are part of this spiritual city called Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem. It is the opposite of the devil's spiritual city, which is called Babylon. Those are the two cities. We could have called the book of Revelation a tale of two cities, the works of Babylon and the works of Jerusalem. The Lord says to John, he says, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers there. What John is saying is go and investigate what is happening in the church. Here John is in the context of the Great Tribulation. He's just been told that he is involved. He is being given a little scroll. He must prophesy about nations and peoples and kings. He's not just a spectator. He is an active participant in the end time purposes of the Lord. There are no chapter divisions in the original writing of this book of Revelation. When John wrote it, he wrote it as a letter to one of the or to the seven churches. And there was no chapter 9 and chapter 10. It was just one complete flowing story. So as soon as the Lord or the angel says to John, you must prophesy again, then he says, now go and measure the people of God. He says, I want you to go and see how many worshipers there are and what's the extent of what they're doing and how deep is their passion and their understanding and their zeal. When I come into a church situation, I do something like that. I get a feel of the vital signs of the body. I discover if these people are really on fire for God. I discover if there's demonic activity in the church, if there's a kind of political upheaval, if there's gossip and all kinds of difficult things, or if these people are in unity and they have a clear focus on their mission and they're sold out to Jesus. And John is told, go and measure the people of God. Go and find out what is happening there. Count the worshipers there. These are the people who are on the planet at this time. When there is so much darkness on the planet, there is still a lot of people who love the Lord. Do you know that some people are going to make it all the way through the great tribulation and be there at the end? They'll not be able to do this without supernatural protection and without special anointing and grace. But we know that they'll be there because the Lord says that when he returns, that the dead in Christ shall rise, and then you which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds, and forever you're going to be with the Lord. So we know that there's people all the way through, right to the end of the book of Revelation. And here we find that John is told to go and measure the people of God. See what is happening. And he tells about the Gentiles or the people of the nations who are not walking with God. And he says they're going to be trampling now on the city for the next 42 months, for the next half of this tribulation period. He says the beast is going to come. The false prophet's going to come. The great prostitute's going to come. There's going to be a trampling on the people of God all around the world. He says, but I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of all the earth. There's going to be more intense battles coming. We think that it's been intense so far in our studies, but it's going to become much, much worse. And in the middle of it, the Lord says, now, John, go and look at my people. I think it's almost like the Lord is kind of bragging on his people. You know, he really does love his people. And this is a time in history when they're going to be shining brighter than any other time. Have you ever seen a Christian who you admired so much that you said, I want to be like that Christian? It seems that no matter what comes their way, they're going to fight the devil. They're going to encourage the saints. They're going to be overcomers. They're going to win the day. Even in this day, at this time, there are Christians who shine like that. But in the great tribulation, the shining of the Christians will become so much brighter. The candle power will be turned up like the world has never seen. And I think the Lord, it's almost like he's bragging at this point. And he says, go and have a look at my people. Aren't they shining great in this dark time? And then he says, and I have two witnesses. The title of this message is Identifying the Two Witnesses. And we do know that many theologians will suggest that these two witnesses might be Enoch or Elijah or Moses. I respect them greatly. But I don't think that's who these two witnesses are. I think that these two witnesses are not individual people at all, but they are the two witnesses of the Lord of the whole earth. Who do you think are the two witnesses of the Lord of the whole earth? It doesn't take too much thinking to say, well, in all of history, there's been two witnesses for God as a people. One has been the Jews and the other has been the church. Since the time of Christ, whenever there's been great persecution, it's come against these two people. Christians and Jews have been side by side in wars and battles and suffering persecution since the last 2,000 years. We don't have to think that we should make up names for who these two witnesses are. The Bible tells us who they are. The Bible is its own best commentary. And if we do a good study of the scriptures, we will discover that these two prophets are Israel and the church. You might say, but they're people. They're just men. Well, isn't the whole church called the body of Christ? It's one man. The Lord says he's going to make the Jews and the Gentiles into one new man. To think that the church, this group of people, is just an individual is not a new teaching. Jesus taught that it is a man, one new man, the body of Christ. But there is much more to be seen in this scripture. In Zechariah chapter 4, and verse 2, verse 11, verse 12, and 14, we read about these two end-time witnesses. They are called the lampstands, and they are called the olive trees. Isn't that what we just read? We read, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 3.5 years, These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord." So these two witnesses are symbolically called the two olive trees and symbolically called the two lampstands. So now we go into this scripture in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2, and we read, "I see a golden lampstand with a bowl at the top, and there are two olive trees." I asked the angel, "What are these two olive trees? What are these two olive branches besides the two golden lampstands or pipes that pour out golden oil?" So he said, "These are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth." Again, in the book of Zechariah, just as in the book of Revelation, we see the picture of the olive trees and the picture of the two lampstands, and we're told they're the two anointed ones. The book of Revelation tells us about the two olive trees. It tells us that one of the olive trees represents Israel, and the other olive tree represents the Gentiles. There they're called the olive branches. But in Zechariah, both olive trees and olive branches were used interchangeably. So here in Romans chapter 11, verse 17, look what it says. It says, "If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over the branches. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted in to the cultivative olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved, for the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable." So here in this 11th chapter of Romans, we see this beautiful illustration of the two olive trees or the two olive branches. One is the natural olive branch, and that's Israel. They were chosen by God a long time ago, and they have been cultivated because they've had the patriarchs, they've had the stories of the Old Testament, they've had the teachings of the Lord for thousands of years. But then the Lord said, because of their rebellion and hardness of heart, some of those branches, not all of them, but some of them were broken off. And then the Lord said he went out into the nations of the world and he found some wild people. That's you. He found the wild bunch. He found the wild olive tree. And he took the branches from the wild olive tree and grafted it in to the natural olive tree. At the end of the age, we still see these two olive branches. One is Israel, redeemed, walking with God, who hasn't been broken off or will be grafted back in. That's the natural olives. And one is the Gentile church. Together brings them, God brings them together as one new man. Don't confuse that statement to think that they will have the same identity. Husbands and wife become one, one flesh. They become one in Christ when they get married. But the woman is still a woman and the man is still the man. So when the scripture says there is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, male nor female, it doesn't mean that they lose their identity. Even if you become a Christian, if you're a woman before you became a Christian, you're a woman after you become a Christian. You don't lose your identity. It's not saying there's no difference between men and women. It's saying that redemptively, we're all accepted into the family of God. There's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor Greek. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. And so it's the same with men and women as it is with Jews and Gentiles. And in the end, even in the book of Revelation, we discovered in the 7th chapter of Revelation, in one of our earlier studies, that there is a Jewish revival and there is a Gentile revival. Two separate groups of people are mentioned there. At the end of the age, there is even a different job description in the millennium. The Bible says that to the Jewish people will belong the temple worship, that the people of the nations will have to come up to Jerusalem from time to time. But that land that we've talked about in an earlier study that will go from the river Nile to the river Euphrates, it will belong only to Jewish people. I have met some Christians who said, when I get to heaven or to the millennium, I'm going to buy myself a piece of property in Israel. And I have to tell them, well, I hope you're Jewish. Because if you're not, you're not allowed to own that property. The Lord says he's given it to Jewish people. And it will be that way for all of eternity. You can rent, but you can't own there. Now, you may own half of New York City, but you can't own an apartment or a piece of land in Israel during the millennium unless you're Jewish. There's a difference. Even though we're one in Christ and we all have to believe in him, we all have to get saved the same way, there is a difference. There's two olive branches. One's Israel and one's the Gentile church. They're the two witnesses of the Lord of the whole earth. We also read that there are lampstands. It says these are the two lampstands. What do lampstands represent in the book of Revelation? They represent the churches. Do you remember in that very first picture where Jesus is there? He is standing among the lampstands, and in his hand are the seven stars, which are the angels. He says these lampstands are the churches. And you say, well, how can there be two churches? Well, don't you remember that the Jewish people who were following God were called the church in the wilderness? And what about Matthew chapter 18? When the Lord says, that is Jesus says, if somebody offends you, go and make it right with him. But if he won't take correction, go and get a brother to help witness the situation. And if he won't listen to the correction of the brother, then take him before the church. But Jesus hadn't died yet. Pentecost hadn't started yet. What church was he talking about? He was talking about the Jewish church. There's two churches in the Bible. There's an Old Testament church, which is the people of Israel. And there is a New Testament church. There's two lampstands. They are the two churches. So the Lord says, these are my two witnesses, the two olive branches and the two lampstands. Now, just in closing up this little study here, it says, these are the two witnesses, and God will give power to those two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days. In another place, it says 42 months. They will be clothed in sackcloth. That means there are two groups of people, one representing the church and one representing redeemed Israel, that for the first half of the Great Tribulation period, for 3.5 years, they will be the ones who are being used of God. It's not that all the church and all of Israel are included, but it's the prophetic group. Have you ever heard of a prophetic church? Some people say, well, our church is a prophetic church. This is a sign of the times to use that kind of terminology, because there are people in churches who are not very spiritual. Some whole churches where people believe that Jesus saved them from their sins, and they go to a Sunday service and they just stand up and they sing a hymn. They sit down and hear a little sermonette, and then they go home and they live nice lives. But they're not interested in partnering with God, in praying for change, in interceding, or in prophesying to the nations. But the Lord has those churches that are like that. They're the prophetic group. And that is what we're going to see in the first half of this great tribulation period. We're going to see this move of the Holy Spirit that will come upon the church and upon Israel. And a group within the church, I'm talking 1 million people strong, will be on fire. They'll be the ones who are out on the front lines. Some church members will still be sitting back, but they'll be part of the church, and they won't take on the mark of the beast, and they won't compromise, but they're the quiet ones. They're the shy ones. But then there's those people who will not be denied. They're the Daniel in the lion's den type. And they're going to just stand there and lift the sword and proclaim the word and care for the poor. They're going to be giving themselves and seeing signs and wonders and miracles. They'll be praying and interceding and overcoming the devil. They'll be prophesying. And the Lord says that he will have two witnesses in this great time of the tribulation. One will be Israel. One will be the church. But the prophetic group within the church and the prophetic group within Israel, and they will prophesy and call into existence the things of the Lord. This message is called Identifying the Two Witnesses. The Bible makes it very clear, if we look at the symbols and signs, who the two witnesses are. It fits with the whole of the scripture. And it fits with the story of the book of Revelation. The two witnesses are the prophetic church and the prophetic is real.